offer of salvation is open to you. It's free. There's nothing you can do to earn it. And if you are, that's sin also, which must be forsaken by turning to Jesus, recognizing it's sin, and asking for forgiveness. He'll forgive you. Are you listening?
Thanks for joining us for this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio broadcast ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, give us an idea how we should listen to today's broadcast in order to get the most from it.
Well, Dave, as we continue our look in Isaiah chapter 55, the way we can get the most of it is to be prayerfully willing to receive the Word of God, asking God to help us understand and asking God that He might grant us wisdom so that we might respond exactly as He desires. Our text is Isaiah 55. Turn there as we begin.
Be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain this entire series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
That's a great deal. God says, you go to Him, you listen to Him, He's going to make a deal with you. And that deal is salvation. A salvation that is everlasting. You'll never turn away from Him. It truly happens. What a wonderful, wonderful offer. Incline your ear, back in Isaiah 55. And come to me, listen that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. Now, in the context of Isaiah, this offer is to Israel. But we see in the New Testament this new covenant that Jesus brought through His blood that brings the forgiveness of sins to all who believe. So the Lord is basically saying, bend your ear, come to me and listen that you may live, and I'll save you from your sins forever. And I will do this according to my faithful mercies that I've shown to David. Oh, David was quite a sinner, wasn't he? And God was faithful to him, wasn't he? He was repentant and the Lord had redeemed him. He was a repentant man. David was a man that God exhibited His covenant faithfulness with. He's faithful to him. And based on God's faithfulness in regard to His promises with David, He will faithfully bring about in the future the salvation of Israel. And that's what I believe verses 4 and 5 are about. Behold, I have made Him a witness to the peoples, a leader, speaking of David, a commander for the peoples. Behold, you will call a nation, that word speaks of peoples or non-Jews. Behold, you will call a nation who you do not know, and a nation which knows you not will run to you, because the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, for He has glorified you. It's basically saying here, someday, just as I exhibited my covenant faithfulness to David, I will do that with you, Israel, and on that day, peoples, non-Jews, will come to you because of your relationship with me, because you have been glorified in me through salvation. You say, I don't understand. Well, the point is that for Israel at that time, if they would listen, He would save them. But because of His ultimate faithfulness to David, they will be saved eventually. Not of all time, but at that time. So the same principle applies to us for salvation. You need to recognize your need of salvation. You need to be forgiven of your sins. You need to recognize nothing you can do or will do can bring that about. It is only through the free gift that comes through the suffering servant, Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and was pierced for your transgressions. And the offer is open to all who thirst, to all who recognize they need forgiveness of sins. Incline your ear and come to me and listen that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Now our problem is we're unwilling to listen. We're unwilling to let our heart listen to what God has to say. If your heart is hard and you don't want to listen, God's gracious. Lord, break my heart. Change my heart that I would listen. Sadly, we listen to our own desires rather than what God says. But God wants us to live. He wants us to live eternally with Him. Incline your ear and come to me and listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Come to Him. Are you willing to accept the fact that sin has caused a separation between you and God? That your righteous deeds are like a filthy garment? All the stuff you thought you did religiously, it's filthy to God. Are you willing to accept the fact that transgressions and sinners will be crushed together? Those who forsake the Lord will come to an end? That he will punish the evil and the wicked for their iniquity and put an end to the arrogance of the proud? Are you willing to admit that? And then come to him and receive the free gift without cost. Back to our passage. He says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David." And then notice in verse 6, there is a warning. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Now we need to recognize what type of seeking this really is. It's not a seeking based on your own wisdom to try to figure out if what he says is right or wrong, to work out all the things in your head. It is a seeking that is in context of calling upon him. Notice the parallelism. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him. That seeking is calling upon him to save you while he may be found. Context is key. Remember, he just made the offer. Come and buy salvation without cost. And then he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. This is not an independent seeking of the Lord because it's in parallel with calling upon him. Call upon him. You see, those who really seek the Lord are calling upon him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. What a tremendous reality. He's near to those who are not saved yet. The offer is there. Tremendous reality. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And notice this points out a specific time that this needs to be done. You see, if you're convicted of your sin and you recognize that Jesus Christ died for your sins, stop working for your salvation and call upon him to save you while he's near. Seek him while he's near. Call upon him while he may be found. Seek him and then call upon him while he's near. Friend, there is a time in which God allows himself to be sought and found in the context of salvation while he's near. There's a time. This is amazing. God comes close to non-believers. He is near. And he does it through his Spirit convicting the heart of sin, revealing Jesus through the gospel. He calls upon you to listen. When you've been convicted of your sin, you recognize your need for a Savior. God is near. Call upon him while he's near. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Salvation is not simply raising a hand or whatever it is. Now, you may have done that, but salvation has to do with calling upon the Lord to save you. Believing that he is the one who brought salvation, that we are sinful and that he died for our sins and rose from the dead. And there is a window in which the Lord will allow you to respond. But if you don't, your heart will be hardened. We see this principle in Scripture. If you reject him calling upon you while he is near, he will allow your heart to be hardened, that you wouldn't be saved. That's a hard thing to think about. That's why it's a warning. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. And we want to look at verse 10. And here the Lord Jesus had begun to speak in parables. And those are stories that are thrown alongside to make a point, which by nature are not fully understandable apart from an explanation. Now in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus' disciples were wondering, why do you speak to them in parables? Why aren't you just making it clear? Why aren't you making it clear? Verse 10, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them, that's the multitudes, in parables? And he answered and said to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Notice the contrast. But to them it has not been granted. The amazing thing is we're going to see it was granted earlier. They had the opportunity to hear the word of God, but they closed their ears so God allowed them to be hardened. The opportunity had slipped by them. It was done. The them speaks of the multitudes to which he is now speaking in parables. To you it's been granted, to them it has not. And notice the explanation, verse 12. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. We see here, for true believers, it's an amazing statement. We're going to continue to grow in the knowledge of Christ. We're going to have it in abundance. Yet the contrast, but to he who does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from them. He's making the case that these are those who have been granted the knowledge of Christ, that he's near, but yet had not responded, so he's taking that away. There was a time when they could have called upon the Lord while he was near, just as Isaiah said to these Jews. Jesus is making the case that those who have been granted knowledge when he's near, but yet have not responded, there'll be a time when they will not be able to call upon him because they will have had their hearts hardened. Seek him while he is near. Call upon him, or while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. It's a pretty scary thought to think about. There's a window of time that God allows someone to respond to his truth concerning Christ. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't push it down. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Because there may be a day when you can't find him because he will veil himself from you. Look down at verse 13 of Matthew 13. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In the case, the prophecy of Isaiah has been fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing but will not understand. You will keep on seeing but will not perceive. And notice the explanation. For, here's the reason. Here's the reason why God is veiling it from them. For, the heart of this people has become dull. Stop there. Dull means to be thickened, to be impervious, hard. That's your thinking. The heart has become dull. And it's a completed action. It's hard. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have what? Closed their eyes. See, they did that. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return, that I may heal them. You see, if you reject the truth of God, you close your heart to it, then God pulls himself away from you. You don't want to do that. And if you have a hard heart, pray, Lord God, soften my heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul shares this same principle. And I'll read it to you. Verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. If you reject it, he allows Satan to blind your minds. It's a scary thought. Don't allow your heart to be hardened. Don't close your eyes to the truth of salvation in Jesus Christ. Back to Isaiah. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Because you and I are sinful, God sent his Son, and he bore our sins in his body on the cross, and he declares that there is judgment, that all should repent everywhere, but he has put his Son in our place. He died for our sins and rose from the dead. Don't harden your heart. Seek him while he may be found. Now, some of you might be saying, I seek the Lord. I've been to many seeking type things. The reality here, it says seek, call upon him. That's the seeking, calling upon him for salvation, recognizing you're thirsty and you need salvation, seeking him for salvation, not seeking to figure out if you should be saved, seeking him for salvation. Now, what does the seeking look like? Look back at our passage in Isaiah. Seek the Lord, verse 6, while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Now here's what the seeking looks like. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You see, when we seek him rightly, we're forsaking our way. We realize my way is wrong. I can't get out of it. I'm stuck. My attitudes, my actions, my thoughts are wrong, Lord God. I'm a prisoner. But you turn to him and he'll set you free. Seek him, he'll set you free. The unrighteous man, his thoughts, that's where it's at. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You see, that's repentance. It's a turning to God from sin, but it's ultimately a change of mind. I change my mind about my sin. I believe what God says now. And from that change of mind, I turn to Jesus from my sin to be saved. would the Lord say through John the Baptist, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Mark chapter 1, and after John had been taken into custody, now we see of Jesus. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Luke chapter 24, verse 45, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem.'" Acts chapter 3, verse 18, "But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer, has thus been fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and return, that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Acts 17:30, "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent, for he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead." Let God's word change your mind about your need for salvation and your sinfulness, and turn to God from your sin to be saved. Turn. You can't call upon the name of the Lord apart in that sense, forsaking your thoughts and your ways by turning to him. You say it's wrong, you recognize it's wrong, and you deserve this punishment, you turn to Jesus. Now I want to read verses 6 and 7 together. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord." And what's God's response when we realize we're sinful and need a Savior and we turn to Jesus? What's God's response when we call upon the name of the Lord? It says in the middle of verse 7, "And he will have compassion on him." Isn't that wonderful? "And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." This tremendously good news has two parallel statements. If you return to the Lord, then there's two things that happen. He will have compassion. And secondly, the implication is if you return to him, he will abundantly pardon. The term pardon here speaks literally of forgiving. It's translated forgive in many other places, such as the new covenant we read in Jeremiah. "I will forgive their iniquity. Remember their sins no more." The offer of salvation is open to you. It's free. There's nothing you can do to earn it. And if you are, that's sin also, which must be forsaken by turning to Jesus, recognizing it's sin, and asking for forgiveness. He'll forgive you. Are you listening? Are you willing to turn from your wicked ways and your unrighteous thoughts to Jesus? Are you willing to do that? Call upon him for salvation while he's near. So with that in mind, why do it this way? Why not the other way people say we should be saved? Why this way? Notice God explains back in our passage in Isaiah 55, verse 8, "For this is why you should do it. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord." You see, we think our way is the way, don't we? He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, your ways my ways." That's why. God's saying, turn to him, repent from your sin, stop trying to buy your salvation by your works, because my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are my ways your ways. God's thoughts and the way he does things are not the way we do things. We need to do it his way rather than our way. And notice he continues. Verse 9, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Seek the Lord in the context of repentance, because his thoughts and his ways are much higher than ours. He's God and we're not. Seek his way. The Lord's way is the only solution. It is way above anything we could ever think. And then notice he expands. For, verse 10, "For or because, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word which goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." This is a powerful verse which we could spend the whole day on here. But with the time left here, the point is because his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not ours, we need to seek him while he's near. And we need to seek Him because His Word is the means in which He will accomplish this. You see, He's either going to accomplish the judgment He has said, or He's going to accomplish salvation. It's based on your response. His Word will not return empty or void. It will accomplish what He desires. Friends, God's Word will be accomplished no matter what. If you try to accomplish salvation by your own way, then you will die in your sins. Why do you buy that which does not satisfy? And that which is not bread, it's phony. Seek the Lord. And notice the last portion of our chapter here. It really speaks of God's faithfulness to the fulfillment of the salvation of Israel in the future. For you will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. Verse 12, and the mountains and hills will break forth in shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. You see, for Israel, Scripture reveals that when the Lord comes in judgment, Israel will turn, Romans chapter 11. A deliverer will come from Zion. They're going to turn. They're going to believe. All Israel of that day, not of all time. And then they're going to go into this reign of Christ, the millennium, and there's going to be no longer any curse. Verse 13, instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. Instead of the nettle, myrtle will come up. And it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off. Marvelous chapter, which reveals what God offers to us. There's a lot of offers of salvation out there. A lot of different offers about how to come to Jesus. But the genuine offer comes from the Word of God. And His Word will not return void. And it declares His ways, not our ways. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Maybe for some of you today, He is near to you. You're not saved yet, but He's working on your heart. Call upon Him. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I believe You died for my sins and rose from the dead. Save me, Jesus. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And then for those of us who know the Lord, that we've been so graciously blessed to call upon His name, this is the offer. This is the genuine offer that we should be sharing as the Lord leads. The offer that we have the privilege of sharing as the Lord opens doors to share His truth. Will you seek Him? Will you call upon Him while He's near? And then for those of us who are saved, will we go out with joy and peace in the context of what Christ has done for us?
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness? That you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that He took on human flesh, that He came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that His work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to Him and ask Him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank You so much for
your word and your son, Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who do not know you, who still are in their sins, that they would turn from their sin and trust in your son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for your son. And it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our new believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your new believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.